Welcome to Showbiz Atlanta. I am your host, Dana Barrett, and it's Wednesday, January 25th. I am in studio today with the lovely Brian Rose from Maudlin. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
The show is called Showbiz Atlanta, but that's not your primary business, right?
No, it's not.
But we're going to get around to that, so our listeners won't be too disappointed. So Maudlin is your newest venture.
It is. Yes.
So let's start with that. Tell me a little bit about Maudlin.
Okay. Maudlin is basically custom upholstery, drapery, home furnishings, interesting sort of one-of-a-kind antiques all mixed together. It's sort of a it's kind of hard to describe exactly. You just have to come in and take a look at it. But
so, okay, where is it? So then people can come and take a look.
Okay, well, it's simple. We're over on DeFours Avenue at 1700 DeFours, right next to Ballard's, in between Ballard's Back Room and the DeFours Center.
Excellent. And so, but this is a business that existed in California for quite some time, yes?
Yeah, we've been in California for about 20 years. Again, it was built on custom upholstery and drapery and all the fun things to make a house come together.
And interior design.
Oh, absolutely. We do have an interior designer that's on staff there and on in Atlanta here.
And so we should mention that your business partner in all of this is, because this is a little bit of a showbiz connection, that she's one of the original Doublemint twins.
It is. It is kind of a showbiz connection. She was one of the original Doublemint twins back in the early 80s. And
who doesn't remember that? Well, I guess if you weren't born yet.
Well, she did a lot of print stuff. She wasn't the television one.
Okay.
So I mean, she did advertising for, in Colorado, where they were both skiing, or they were riding bikes, or they were on the beach, or wherever it was. But she did a bunch of print ads.
That's very cool. I'd like to have a title like that. Like I used to be the Gerber baby or something. Maybe I'll make that up. I used to. You could tell people you used to be like the kid Mikey from the Life cereal commercials or whatever.
Well, I'm a big believer in self-proclaimed titles.
Me too. I like it. So when in the California business, you guys got kind of involved in showbiz out there a little bit through that business. So tell me about that.
Yeah, we did. It's funny because set designers and production people and lighting people are always looking for something different. I mean, even here in Atlanta or in L.A. or San Diego or La Jolla, San Francisco, all these people are looking to be inspired when they go into a store. So there's a whole group of people that do nothing but sort of scout, okay, we're going to get these pieces of lighting from this person. This kind of person's going to give us furniture. This one's going to give us the set, sort of where we can shoot. So there's a ton of stuff, but it's funny because L.A., everybody thinks show business L.A., but, I mean, Atlanta is this huge thing that's starting to go off here as well.
Yeah, very much so. So when you're – so when they come to you, when a set designer comes to you and they want a particular – piece, do you sell it to them? Do you loan it to them? Do you rent it to them? How does that work?
Well, it all depends on the designer. Most of the time, they just want to lease the stuff because when the show is over with, they don't have anything to do with it.
Right, so of course.
That's the big business for us because you can pull quite a bit of income by leasing something over and over and over again instead of just selling it once.
Right. So tell me about let's back up a little bit and just talk about how you kind of got into this business in the first place.
Okay. Well, the whole, let's see, where should I start with this?
Getting comfortable. It's a little hot in here.
It is hot.
I know.
I don't know why you guys do this.
Well, because we like to make our guests really uncomfortable.
It's working.
Yeah, it's part of what we do. So you started out, before you got into design specifically, you were doing some home building, yes?
Yeah, that was sort of my background is I went to University of Georgia. I actually started here in Georgia.
Now, are you from here originally?
South Florida originally.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ended up in Georgia.
So you've been around.
Yeah, I've lived a lot of places between Georgia, California, New York, Washington State, Texas, let's see, South Beach, Miami.
Wow.
Lots of fun places to live. So that's sort of I always joke and say I ran aground in Atlanta.
There you go. I don't know how you could do that because there's not really any water here, but we'll go with it.
Well, that's the point. I ran aground.
Okay, so home building, and home then building. You kind of got sick of that.
Well, some home people... building became, you know, back in the early 90s, if you couldn't make money building a house, I mean, it was easy. Everybody could do it. Some of us carved out a pretty good niche where we had people that would come to us and say, you know, this is what I want to do. I understand your vision. I've seen what you've done for other people here. This is the check. This is what we're going to do. You do it. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to give you some cursory things to do. Other than that, I'll be back in 3 months.
You know, I cannot even imagine that. I am such a control freak. I would be in there being like, that tile is wrong. I don't like that color. There's no way.
No, it's funny because that sort of group of people, they kind of want to be told what to do.
Yeah, it's funny. My stepfather is like that. He, you know, he's a very successful businessman, kind of a widget guy, you know, has a factory and whatever, sells stuff. And when he got divorced, not from my mother, but from a previous wife, he did that. He hired a designer and he basically just said, I need a place to live. There's my place. I bought the place. You go make it look nice and call me when you're done and I'll write you a check. So there are definitely people like that, but I would never be able to do that.
No, I could never do it either. I mean, the funny thing is I don't really understand those people either. I just like to work for them.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. So you were doing that in the early 90s?
In the early 90s, yeah. Okay. And that sort of was a lot of fun because it sort of let us all be really creative with what we wanted to do. And it seemed like the more creative we got, the more the original ideas started to come out. So I would go to Mexico for like the building projects. I'd buy doors, I'd buy windows and shutters, and then we would build them into the house.
All right, can I ask a really silly question? When you first started doing that, how did you know where to go to find that stuff?
Well, it's kind of strange. You just sort of go and find it. It is. You just sort of have to have the personality where you've never met a stranger and you're not afraid to ask questions. And if you're passionate about something, you just find a way to find it.
Yeah.
And that's where all the really good stuff comes from is going and rooting around and trying to source something new where, say, you want to go into Mexico and you have no idea what you're doing. So you start asking the locals and you start asking this guy. And, yeah, you get led down a lot of dead ends. But in the end, if you're persistent, you usually find something that's just exquisite.
Interesting. Okay. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt your flow. So you're in Mexico, you're buying stuff.
So we're buying doors and windows and all kinds of funny things. And there was a company in Santa Fe, New Mexico called La Puerta, which Spanish for the door. And this guy, he was amazing. He would go to India. He would go all over the world and buy these doors, redo them, and get them ready to hang. So my grandmother was an artist in Santa Fe. So I would go spend summers there. And I got to sort of hang out with this guy when I was a kid and sort of see what he was doing. So that's where a lot of the inspiration came from. And I often joke about things that I sort of build today and we sort of buy or we incorporate into a design in the furniture industry is all about Santa Fe and about certain tones and textures and just overall scale. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if that really makes any sense, but you'd sort of have to live it to figure it out.
I don't know. I think people that have an eye for that can understand what you're talking about. Yeah. So eventually the home building stuff, you put that on the back burner or let go of it.
Yeah, I sort of let go of it. It got to be late and interest rates were going through the roof, mm-hmm. and things were sort of getting strange and a lot of big builders were going bankrupt. So I figured, you know, I'll get out before it all falls in on top of me.
Good call.
And I decided that, you know, instead of building the house for these people, I'd start selling the materials to them instead and let the bigger builders take the, you know, let them do it. So I ended up importing from Mexico container loads of stuff, and then all of a sudden that wasn't so easy to do anymore. So then it was like, okay, well, let's go to Europe, or let's go to Bulgaria, or let's go to India or China. And it just sort of took a life of its own. So I got into the antique business, basically wholesaling stuff all over the United States through a couple of places in California and also in Texas and New York, some big antique shows. And it's funny, once you get into this business, it sort of gets in your blood. You're always looking for the next deal or the next what's going to be the next trend. And in the design business, everybody talks about trends. Sort of some designer will come to you and say, well, this is the next trend. And in reality, it's not the trend that makes it. It's what's available becomes the trend.
Okay.
So a lot of the designers will take credit for something that's super hot, but it's what the antique people in Europe or wherever have sourced and found and pushed that, okay, here, this is what's available. So they're trying to finish a job, and all of a sudden, oh, well, that's cool. So all of a sudden, you can create a trend like that. It's not the designer that does it. It's actually on the bottom end where it all comes from.
So in a way, you're kind of helping do that here because you're the one bringing it in
from other
countries.
And that's the funny thing is because we're direct all over the world. So nobody's we're not buying it from one wholesaler, sending it to another wholesaler.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where the uniqueness comes in. And that's one reason that in Atlanta, some of the set designers have found us because they know that we have really original stuff that, you know, you can't find anywhere else.
So before we got on the air, I had the audacity to step out of the room for a second and left you in here talking with my partner, Elizabeth. And you were telling her a story about, I think, Scott's Antique Market. And I just caught the end of, I don't know, maybe you were talking about the Rose Bowl, but something about where people create different movie-looking sets. So you got to tell that story because I only heard the tail end of it and it sounded interesting.
Well, there is. There's a woman in town named Barbara English who runs she's sort of a big proponent for the film industry in Georgia. That has I want to get this right, it's the Next Cool Event, which this is the second year that we'll have done it. And they do it at the the North Building at Scott's in February.
See, I didn't make it up. You looked at me like I was crazy when I first said that.
Well, I tend to do that a lot. Anyway, so what it is it's a group of designers. I think that I can't say how many booths there are, but what it is each design team picks a theme movie, basically, whether it's Mommy Dearest or, Mad Men was even a great one last year, where they designed basically a set around the movie. And what it is it brings, she's been able to bring all the top sort of production people in the film industry to this event. Last year she did it incredibly well, and this year I think she's poised to do it even better. Where all the lighting people, the set designers, the decorators, the production guys, the producers, everybody is there to walk through and see. And, I mean, it's fantastic exposure for people in Atlanta to sort of see what we can do here for the film industry.
So did you do one? Did you guys do one?
We weren't here in Atlanta last year.
Oh, because you just came,
we
right?
We just came
okay.
in
Got
October.
It.
And then this year we were so far in the weeds that we decided if we couldn't do it really, really well, then there was no point for us to really do it.
Gotcha.
So we're slated to do it next year if she's still doing it, which I'm sure she will be. But
so what time of year does it happen?
It's in February, so it's coming up.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. I think it's mid-February.
Is it open to the public, too?
It is, but No, I'm sorry, it's not.
So it's to the trade.
It's to the trade only. So,
okay. So you have to know someone.
Right, you have to know somebody.
So you could get me in, though.
Yeah, I could get you in.
Okay.
Easily. We could, yeah, definitely.
Because I have the inside scoop now. So.
You do have the inside
scoop. Yeah, I can report back to all our listeners how cool it was, and they can just all be jealous.
Yeah, and the other thing that she does with that is she has this West Side Design District map, which sort of grew from trying to generate interest among the TV people, was that, okay, here's all these people in the West Side Design District that are available and ready and willing and able to help with whatever you guys need.
To help find items and to do help. Some set decoration and all that kind of stuff. We're just driving you crazy in the studio, aren't we?
It's like 500 degrees in here.
I'm sorry. Gosh. I'll be complaining to the landlord after this show.
Well, I think Macy's is gone, aren't they?
Macy's is gone.
Maybe there's a reason.
Because it was hot.
It was hot in
Customers
here.
Couldn't
Customers
stand
couldn't
it.
Couldn't.
I guess I should be clear. We're at the 200 Peachtree building. That's what we're talking about.
Well, it's a good thing I knew it was 200 Peachtree instead of 200 Peachtree like in Norcross.
Well, I did send you directions.
Thank goodness.
You're kind of a bit of a troublesome guest.
I can be sometimes.
All right. Just so you know.
Feisty.
A little bit feisty.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit feisty. All right. So when you first got involved with some of this production stuff here, you were telling me about Single Ladies coming through. So tell me how that all happened.
Well, that was kind of funny because the person that came in had only worked for Single Ladies last year. And she came in, and I think she was one of the first people in the store. And she said, oh, my God, I have to get the set designers in here. They need to come in here. So it just sort of started coming from that. And Single Ladies was sort of an interesting – it was almost a wrap for the season, so we didn't do anything with them. But she sent another guy from MTV, who was shooting this, I think it was like Super Sweet Scary 16 part.
Oh, God, that's
15,
super scary. Yeah.
You know, so they came in and took some interesting gothic looking stuff, and the set was out in Kennesaw. So that was kind of an interesting thing. So that was like the very first thing that we did here.
That's like non-reality. It's like reality, non-reality
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, it's scripted reality, I guess is what you'd say. It's like train wreck on TV.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But that was sort of the first thing. And then slowly we've been doing some lighting for some people, a little bit of furniture. We have a guy right now that's after us for, of all things, a crushed purple velvet Chesterfield sofa with chairs.
Interesting.
I mean, so the more outlandish it can be, the better, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
So it makes me want to start thinking, well, maybe we should have a whole line of stuff we do just for set decoration that's just outlandish, crazy patchwork quilting and crushed velvet and boudoir style stuff is what they seem to want right now.
Well, I'm sure you could lease it to them, and then all the, people that are trendy would want to own it, especially after it had been on set somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
That makes it even more valuable, right?
Oh, yeah. And there's a couple of other people in town, too. There's a guy named Jeff who owns a place called The Prop House,
yeah,
which leases quite a bit of stuff out. We all sort of try and work closely together. I haven't done anything with them yet. But like I said, we've only been here since October. So
yeah, I think there's probably a lot of people that have been here forever that haven't even really thought about kind of approaching productions or, wouldn't have a clue how to do that. Is it really just being in the right place at the right time?
I think at some point it is. I mean, and Barbara has helped a lot with the Next Cool Event, but, it's sort of educating the people that, yes, we're here. And I mean, reaching out to film executives and television producers and all the rest of it, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, there's avenues for it in LA or in San Diego or anywhere else that's sort of been established, but Atlanta still is pretty new with the whole thing. So, I mean, the more, you know, publicity we get about that there's really cool stuff here, the better off we are. And I mean, Atlanta is full of really, really cool stuff. It's just, you have to know where to go to find it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have a friend that owns a gallery, and I know she'd love to get some of her pieces on a set because it'd be great for her artists to have their, you know, work. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, knowing how to make those connections is not necessarily easy for everyone.
No, there's not. I mean, and the state of Georgia has a website out there for your, basically what they do is they publish your site through pictures that you submit and all the rest of it as sort of locations, which is helping. But the red tape with it to try and get it listed and trying to do this and trying to do that, it's really hard for somebody that's just normal that has a great looking house or a great anything to sort of get it up and running.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've done it for the store and we've had some feedback with it. And I mean, it'll just slowly come.
Right.
You know, it's just sort of exposure. I mean, stuff like this today is fantastic to sort of get the word out.
Oh, always. And, you know, we were talking also a little bit before we got on the air about the tax incentives here in Georgia. And, you know, obviously everybody that's been on this show has talked about a little bit about that and how, you know, obviously that's really brought the business here. Does that help on your side of it at all?
I think it does. I think it's fantastic because, I mean, if you get a production company here getting ready to spend millions and millions of dollars, I mean, it's not just, they're not going to spend it with one person. It's going to be a blanket effect for the economy here.
Right.
You know, they don't pay any sales tax on anything they buy or lease.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a tremendous amount in savings. So, I mean, if we can lure them here versus somebody in Birmingham or somewhere in South Carolina or wherever else. I mean, Atlanta, you know, I don't know what the population here is. What, 7 million, 8 million?
You could, Atlanta whatever proper. You say, I'll nod and smile. I have no idea.
it affects everybody, and that's the great thing. I mean, it helps us. It helps the, you know, the mass transit people. I mean, it helps every step of the way.
Right.
Anything we can do to give tax breaks to people that actually want to come here and spend money is, in my book, I mean, I'm not a politician, but it's the best thing you can do.
You're not a politician?
Thank God, no.
It is pretty amazing because I think, you know, obviously before that was here, I think the way somebody was telling me that there used to be some tax breaks in Georgia. And then, you know, back when they were doing that show with Carol O'Connor, what show? In the Heat of the Night?
In the Heat of the Night out in Covington.
Yeah. And then it went away and then it came back. And when it came back, we saw this resurgence here now and all these productions are coming here now and more, it seems like every year. And you're mentioning a friend of yours doing some extra work or whatever. And I feel like it's happening all over town. I mean, it's almost hard to miss some of these productions. There's little signs all over the place you see for extra parking. And, you know,
it's everywhere. You see the little yellow sign with the arrow that says Paramount or it says Extras or it says Cast or it says whatever. I mean, and it helps everybody. I mean, the community just has to sort of get behind it and really play an active role and embrace what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody does want to get involved, you know, and they're not in a traditional, because I think you're right. I think not only is there the obvious jobs, you know, for production assistants and actors and whatever, there's also lots of sort of ways to be involved, like what you guys are doing. If somebody does want to get involved, is there a way to sort of networking events that they should be going to, or, you know what I mean? Is there a way to sort of get their foot in the door?
You know, that's funny. Usually you have to sort of know somebody who already knows somebody that's doing it. And I mean, it's sort of like that whole thing. It's how do you get the interview? Well, you know somebody that you networked with to get in.
And
I think the same holds true here, which is maybe a good thing, but maybe a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys already also had some connections out in California in the business.
We were fortunate that we did. I mean, we do an event out there every month. And I mean, there's some people that are probably familiar with it. There are probably some that aren't, but the Rose Bowl in Pasadena has a flea market. And I say flea market as in, like, you could buy tube socks or you can buy $15,000 or $20,000 amwa. It's that diverse. But the people that walk through there on a daily basis, it's, you know, Sunday mornings, second Sunday of every month from 4 o'clock in the morning until about 2:30, but 35,000 people will walk through there.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, we gained a lot of exposure there with Bravo TV and with HGTV, a little bit with NBC. This Laura Spencer used to come by the booth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was always kind of fun. And it was fun because she always looked just like she did on TV because she was usually shooting. Most of them you don't recognize.
Right.
But she was easy to spot.
Yeah, some of the famous people, they put on their, or they take off their makeup, I guess.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, I think 2 months ago we had Natalie Portman in the booth. And I wasn't really paying much attention to it.
I saw something on your website about that.
She bought a couple of these really cool French antique bottles, and her husband or boyfriend, I guess the choreographer guy from Black Swan, is actually the guy that did everything. She was sort of in the background on her cell phone with the little baby and the thing. But we see that happen all the time. But
Those jars were cool, by the way.
They are very cool. We did really well with those for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now everybody sees that Natalie Portman has them. They're going
to
want them.
Well, it's funny because Nicole Richie was right there with her.
Yeah.
And said, oh, I have to have two of those too. So it was kind of fun. But we see, you know, and it's fun to see people from the past too. I mean, Corbin Burnson is there. He's there. He's got a really interesting
don't say
wife.
He's from the past.
Yeah,
he's
from the past.
He's still working.
You know, the L.A. law days are kind of a long ways ago.
But he's still working.
But, you know, he looks just like he did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So, nice guy.
Do you see much of that here? Are people coming into the shop?
Not so much. You know, I have a friend of mine who did some stuff for Tyler Perry over in his store in Virginia Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a great clothing store called 310 Rosemont. They did a little bit of set stuff there where they came in and leased the store for half the day and did some shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slowly becoming more and more, you know. Evidently, he had exactly what Tyler wanted for that. And, you know, eventually maybe we'll be there and we'll have something for him as well. So, but we're all sort of friends and we all sort of let everybody know what's going on around. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here talking about the people that I know that like to do it. So, you know, I know in the long run it'll all come back.
Yeah. So ideally, as the months and year wear on of your first year kind of in business here in Atlanta, at least with Maudlin, with the store,
mm-hmm.
Is there, what percentage of the business do you kind of see as being related to the show business industry?
Well, you know, I think probably in the long run, if we play it right, I mean, I would like to see about 20-25% of it. You know, I think it's just a little bit of, you know, in Mexico, they call it a little bit of pilons. It's just a little bit of sweetness on the deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, truthfully, our passion is really about creating an environment for people that inspires them and, you know, in their homes.
Okay.
And that's where our roots are. This other thing just sort of became a sideline where it was like, you know, this is a lot of fun too. And it's always nice to see your stuff on TV because, you know, stuff that you started, you found it one place, you packed it, you shipped it 3,000 miles, you brought it here, you turned around, you set it up, you sold it. And then all of a sudden it ends up on a set somewhere. So it's kind of neat, kind of gratifying. But primarily I like to see, you know, the home end of it much more.
So, and also I would think it just brings a little bit of notoriety to the store. You know, people say, oh, you know, these are the guys that did XYZ set or whatever.
Well, it is. And that is the fun part of it too, because it's a little bit of instant gratification.
So you guys have already gotten some good PR for the store from what I understand. Yeah.
We've had a lot of PR. I mean, we had, we were open maybe a month and we had Atlanta Home and Lifestyle, sent a guy over and said, oh my God, we have to shoot the store and put us in their Christmas issue.
Wow.
Which was really good. And then today we had Atlanta Magazine in.
Oh, just today.
Just sort of the guy said, look, we need to come take some photos. We're doing a piece in March on hot home stuff and you're the people. So here
Very
we
nice.
Go. So that's kind of nice. And it's really nice because it comes unsolicited, which just means that they're finding us and they're inspired when they walk in the store.
Right. So are you mostly doing in-town homes? Are you doing suburban stuff? Is it a mix?
We do a mix. I mean, we'll go all the way to the mountains. We'll go all the way to the beach. It doesn't matter. That's the great thing about the interiors that we do. Everything coming from California, we've sort of have this. We had a woman in the other day that sort of joked about, well, what is your design aesthetic? And I said, you know, I guess it's just transitional European. It doesn't really fit a mold, and that's what's so good about it as well. Because I know that there are a lot of people here in Atlanta that are tired of living in their grandmother's house. You know, Louis XV and Napoleon and all the rest of it, it's beautiful stuff. But when you have a house full of it, it kind of becomes dark and, you know.
Yeah, well, I think I was reading, maybe it was on your website, about sort of people wanting to sort of mix contemporary with older stuff, and that seems kind of like the hot thing right now.
Well, that is the hot thing. You know, there's a lot of softness that comes with new stuff, but then you give it the soul with the old stuff.
Right.
You know, that was sort of my passion with doors. I mean, and I'll go back to building. You know, my whole thing was, you know, if this door could tell the story about who walked through it, that's a 200-year-old door. Whose hands have been on it? What's happened inside the house? I mean, there's a lot of history that goes with that, and you can't buy that. You have to have the piece there. You know, you could put a $20,000 front door, which some of these people do, and, you know, their hands are the first ones on it. And there's no story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. So being able to sort of mix in some of those really cool pieces.
Well, yeah, you have to have some soul, and there's got to be history to it.
Yeah. So, but you get to actually still do a lot of traveling and go pick up some of this stuff.
I do. I travel about 5 or 6 times a year. I'm in Europe a lot, just getting ready to go again. And
now, when you do that, are you just picking out stuff that you think is cool, or do you have specific orders for
people? I have a cheat sheet for some clients for what I know that they're looking for. If we have a client that's doing a house and they need smalls, we'll run into a guy that, you know, nothing but smalls. And I mean, we've done 20-foot containers with nothing but smalls. And I mean, smalls like vases and cups and saucers and lamps and bronze figures.
Yeah, I was like, what's a small? You're talking industry talk.
So that's just smalls. But, and then there's furniture. But we always like to have a laundry list that we know our clients want.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's sort of the bread and butter. But then you'll find something. And the big thing today, again, is to take something that's totally unrelated to something. I know I say something a lot, but anyway, and put the two pieces together to make something completely original nobody's done before.
And like,
that's
what's
really hot. I mean, last year there was a huge craze in Atlanta with lighting. Turn it into a lamp. Turn it into a chandelier. Take a wire basket, flip it upside down, fill it with burlap. It's a chandelier.
Okay.
You see it on TV. I mean, HGTV, all the time. That's what they're doing. Oh, we're going to take this trash can and we're going to make it into a light.
Okay.
That stuff is sort of gone by the wayside, I think. And what I mean as far as putting things together, I bought something which I think is really cool the other day, and it'll probably end up on a movie set. I bought 2 great big stainless steel pipe fittings.
Okay.
That probably weigh 250 pounds a piece. Well, we're going to turn them into something. We don't know what yet. But they're cool enough and they're groovy enough that they'll end up somewhere on a set. And that's what these people really want.
So part of that is just having the eye for...
You have to have an eye for what you think is going to work somewhere. And the building industry for me was great because I understand what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up, we're getting close to the end, but I want to make sure that people can find you if they need design services or if they just want to come into the store. So give me all the contact information.
Okay. Well, contact information for Atlanta, like I said, it's Maudlin et al. It's over on DeFore without an S.
DeFore.
Everybody puts it in with an S and they end up over by Bolton Road.
Oh, wrong.
But it's DeFore, 1700 DeFore. And it's Atlanta 30318. We're right between Ballard's Back Room and the DeForce Center.
And you are open to the public, not
just
the trade?
Yes, we're open to the public Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 5.
Okay.
And then the California store, we just moved. We're in La Jolla still, but we moved 3 blocks, and it's 7755 Fay.
Okay.
92037, and that's a fantastic store too. So.
And if people want to find you online, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, we have it's a real simple one. If you just Google Maudlin Atlanta, we're the first people up. And then Maudlin La Jolla were the first people up.
Where'd that name come from?
Maudlin is actually funny. That was Jennifer's baby. Started in Corona Del Mar, where she first started. And it's Foolishly Sentimental Furnishings.
Okay.
Because one of the funny things about Maudlin, and we still sort of revel in the fact that it's worked so well, is that we have customers from 20 years ago that are still in love with their interiors. Their kids are buying it now. And they fell in love with the experience. And that's sort of the Maudlin experience.
Very cool. So there's everything in the store from the bigs to the smalls, yes?
There's, you know, you can buy amois or you can buy
coffee mugs.
Little coffee mugs that say Atlanta Business Radio X, because I'm going to steal one from here.
Excellent. And turn it into something else, maybe a lamp?
Yeah, we'll make this into a chandelier maybe.
Awesome. So for everybody that wants to get stuff from Brian, go see him at 1700 DeFore.
That's
it. I remember? 1700 DeFore, not DeFore's.
Not DeFore's, but DeFore.
And we hope to see lots of your stuff on set between now and whenever.
Well, we'll stay at it. We're going to make it happen.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Brian. This has been Show Biz Atlanta. I'm Dana Barrett, and we will see you next week.